This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this good Tuesday, the 19th of October, 2021. You are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. My guest today, joining me in studio, is Mr. Natino Thompson. And in the Zoom room, I have guest Ms. Alexis DeMarco and another member of the Bahamas Office of LGBTI Affairs. But before we get started with that portion of the show, I got a couple of things I want to talk about. So, initially, yesterday someone sent me a video of a watermelon field that had been decimated by something or someone. Every single watermelon had either been split down the center, bashed open, or had a small hole punched into it. Every single watermelon. I was even more shocked to learn the field is in Eleuthera. So I told my neighbor, Mr. Reginald Raccoon, that I really am on Team Raccoon. Despite the battle of all my mangoes 2016 and the great Dilly debate 2021, but every single watermelon is a bit overdramatic. And I didn't even eat them. Just hit and run to the next. It's like a politics. Anyway, I don't know how they got there or they got here, got to Eleuthera, but hundreds and hundreds of them. And they can be a real nuisance if their populations are not properly managed. The Ministry of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Island Affairs should and can focus on this nuisance for farmers and an obstacle to making grounds on the journey to food security and food sovereignty. But listen, we can pay residents to hunt and trap animals. I see a couple of companies traveling from island to island managing raccoon and rodent populations and helping farmers secure and maintain their sites. I think the Department of Environmental Health should be interested also. Anyway, I promised Mr. Reginald Raccoon and family that I would have guests on soon to talk about our, quote, new native species, close quote, the raccoon, how it got here, and how we can manage populations in the best interest of all species. I ain't forget you, Royal Bahamian Podcake, and I ain't forget you either, Steven Seagull. Y'all don't know we had a whole line of seagulls descended from the great Steven Seagull. One day, Steven Seagull, he robbed me for fries on the beach. I was too ashamed to call the police. Nuisance, but we have to learn how to live with them. Also, in the news, I'm going to give you all a brief rundown. First of all, I would like to thank the officer at the other end of 919 that responded promptly and appropriately to my request. We do when we're sitting in traffic and we see a man, whether he is mentally unstable or not, urinating on the side of the road. She very quickly put the details and the information and said that she was going to send the car out. And that's all I could expect. That's all I could ask for in this moment. And I'm very happy. But I want to point out that we cannot continue to the mentally unstable people who are taking to the streets for a degree of visibility, you know, this place. And I thought that was going to be the best of it until I hit Cumberland Street. Y'all know I love Cumberland Street. I want to say good morning to the cyclist who, after throwing a bike on the pedestrian crossing, and then making a sharp right turn to enter traffic. Like, you're not a pedestrian, are you doing, sir? But I'm going to tell you this. Throwing the middle finger up at people who took the time to not knock you down is a bad move. Other Bahamians would drive in as if they didn't see you. But I want to say good morning to you anyway. And I want to let you know that you think that that was the most egregious thing I saw this morning. But it's not. Gentleman who decided that he was going to reverse onto University Drive from the Wendy's entrance. You had no reason to do it. There was nothing blocking. You just decided that you were going to do whatever you wanted to do, regardless of the risk to others around you. I want to say good morning to you too, because obviously you are visibility. You want to be seen. And I'm glad that I saw you this morning. And so, my friends, it turns out that that is not the worst thing. You see, I thought when I opened up page A3 of The Guardian and I saw this article, indecent assault sentence reduced on appeal, committed a sex crime on a 13-year-old boy yesterday, had his prison sentence reduced from 3 years to 12 months by a... Now, he received the maximum sentence of 3 years imprisonment. Indecent assault. Maximum sentence of 3 years imprisonment after he pleaded guilty to a charge of indecent assault. And you'd think that that's what I'm upset about, right? That the maximum charge is three. This guy had his reduced to 12 months. I don't understand it. It's almost as if we don't take these crimes seriously. And I argued that the original penalty of the maximum sentence of 3 years only was too severe for indecent boy. I don't understand it. His lawyer, Paco Deal, appealed that it was unduly severe. I mean, he literally argued that. I mean, I guess he's allowed to argue it. I just want to know what the judge said. Deputy Chief Magistrate Debbie Ferguson initially considered imposing an $8,000 fine. However, before reaching a decision, she adjourned the matter to get input from the victim's parents. When the magistrate informed them of the proposed fine, the boy's father said he would have dealt with it differently, but he came to the court for down the sentence with the agreement of the child's parent. Prosecutor Darnell Dorset agreed that the sentence was not sustainable because the magistrate failed to give Cartwright time off for his early guilty plea. She didn't fail. I mean, forgive me. I'm not a judge. I'm not a jurist. I'm not a member of the judicial community. I'm not any of these people. But did this man, and I see Renwood Wells is in the newspaper this morning. I thought he was going to fade away to glory. But since he wanted to be in the newspaper today, I have the opportunity to ask. This lawyer must have the testicular fortitude of the baddest man out there. You had the audacity to suggest that this boy should have gotten time off for pleading guilty. For his early guilty plea, Dorset suggested a sentence of either 1 year or 18 months. So the prosecutor was in on the vibe as well. See, this would make sense to me if I, as a member of the public, was aware of a comprehensive legal psychosocial program to monitor and rehabilitate individuals convicted of sex crimes, particularly with minors. And I know we don't really have a designation of sex crimes, really. But anyway, so back to what I was saying. I thought this was, no pun intended, the most indecent thing I had seen this morning until I picked up my cell phone right before the show. Somebody sent me a video, a well-shot, like the cinematography is excellent, video of a big, dusty man beating the brakes off of a woman in the road. And I wonder if the person filming this event was a part of it. Were they a co-conspirator? because you only need 30 seconds of this before you drop your phone or throw it at the offender brutally beating this woman in the road. Now, if it is a movie, I doubt it's a movie, but if it is a movie, I can't wait to see it. But I don't think so. So I can be honest with y'all. I felt bad when I started snitching on the raccoons this morning. I felt kind of bad. I'm on Team Raccoon. I like them. They live here now. They're part of us. We just have to figure out how to live together. But this right here, boss, I am sending this video to the CDU, to the Cyber Crimes Unit, so they could trace it to its origin and figure out who is the person who took the video instead of stopping you from beating that woman. See, these things will continue to happen as long as we tolerate them. They will continue to happen as long as we allow them to happen. It's that story I told yesterday about restraint. We got to start adulting. Because I know every person with a child in this country goes to bed hoping that when they leave this world, their children live in a world where others know how to practice restraint, know how to control themselves, know how to practice personal self-control and personal discipline. This is too much, Bahamas. This is too much. Arlington, let's go to a break. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to bring in my guests, the organizers of Pride Bahamas 2021, to talk about this year's Pride event.
What happened to you? You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
Make it count this time. Census 2021 for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock the top 4-2. The count depends on you. So tell Ted to go double up. Mark it down on your calendar. Census 2021. This one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
What happened to you? You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
count this time. Census 2021 for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rounds are 2-4-2. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Census 2021. This one's for everyone.
The Central Bank of the Bahamas invites students in grades 4 through 12 to compete in the Get Money Smart Bahamas video essay competition. Students must produce a 3 to 5 minute essay sharing their views on the following topic. The Bahamian economy is an ideal model for digital financial services. Get a parent or guardian permission to share the link to your essay with us on social media and have your entry judged for cash prizes in either the primary school division, junior high, or senior high school category. Essay submissions must be received by October 22nd, 2021. For more information, visit GetMoneySmartBahamas.com. Or see our post on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. I'm going to get through a couple of these texts and then we're going to go into the next segment of the show. First text. Good morning, Ms. Green. I wonder if you can assist me, please. All right. This is an individual that's just having a little difficulty collecting a police report. Okay. I'm going to see what I could do. I'll take your number. Another text, great show as usual, Ms. Green. The person's sentence was reduced because the judge noted when the person come out of jail, the streets will more than likely give him the death sentence. But that's not an appropriate response either. Like, we can't do that either. Certainly, we can't be expecting the courts to, abdicate or sort of push off the responsibility to the public. That's not, in fact, when you hear this, the father said, I came to the court. As opposed to doing what I was inclined to do or what the streets told me, that I came to the court first. So we don't encourage that at all. What I would like to encourage communities to do, because I realize that there are communities that they understand the depravity of these crimes, right? And they want to respond post. They're going to respond post the crime. They're going to deal with it. And I want to ask us to think about invest in that same energy before crimes happen to prevent predation, not just to deal with predators, but to prevent predators, to prevent them from roaming in our communities and even prevent the creation of predators. All right. I thought you were going to say something. Give me a second. I'm going to get to the text. Hi, Erin. If you listen closely to the video, you can hear there's a female in the background calling for help. Perhaps whoever was recording was not physically able to help and did the next best thing. I'm willing to consider that, especially given the distance between the camera and the person, right? Because one of the things about this dynamic when people film is you want evidence. You want to be able to prove what happened. You want it to the court.
Yeah, but I also think about the bystander effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something, it's a psychological kind of effect that happens when, I guess, a kind of vicious or a vitriolic crime is being committed against someone. There's the tendency for people instead, in this particular age, to stand by and just watch or film as opposed to intervening. And that's something that's been studied psychologically and you see it happen. So that's the first thing that I thought about. Like, you know?
And it suggests a significant lack of agency.
Yes.
Like fundamentally, these people don't believe that they have the power to intervene or make a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Another text. Hi, Erin. This is a very slack country with very little justice. No, y'all don't like women wearing pants or slacks or anything. When these people start disappearing... No, I'm not even going to rest out. Listen, we're not speaking this type of negativity in this town, though. We do have a problem with the with access to justice. It's not any supposition or, you know, I'm not just throwing something out there. We know that the judiciary and the judicial system has been collapsing. And we know that one of the biggest elements in the growth of the trust deficit between the citizen and the state is not just a lack of access to justice, but feeling that the justice system is not in your favor. It's not here to serve you. It's here to serve someone else.
It doesn't respond quick enough, especially for women, right? Black women, Bahamian women. Let's take when Bahamian women go to report an incident and they're in fear for their lives.
Yeah.
We've had incidents where the reports are filed, but the police say to the women in particular, "I can't do anything." And I think that that's a like that's an element of justice we need to capitalize on, because our women should be protected,
yeah,
right? Or those most vulnerable should be protected. And so if they come to report something, you should be able to do something in the meantime to stop any or prevent any further kind of violence towards women or vulnerable groups of people.
Absolutely. Natino, let's take this call, and then I'm going to introduce you formally and bring in our other guest.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
A godly day to the stark and the waste.
Good morning, Brayman. How you do?
I'm holding.
Good.
Thank God. Let me ask you something. How old was that little child in which?
13.
13. You know something? The courts are joking. The courts are joking. You know, we need to put some people in there, you know,
mm-hmm.
to run this country. We're serious about clearing up this nasty country.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I got you. Thank you.
It's sickening, the things that's happened in this country, and you go to the courts and you still doesn't get...
Thank you. And thank you, Brayman.
But the thing is, if you go and deal with it yourself,
right, and we're not encouraging
to lock you up.
That's right, and we're not encouraging it. We're not encouraging vigilante justice. What we are encouraging is for community members to take that same energy and commitment to righting wrongs and focus that on preventing wrongs. But I gotta go, Brayman. Got another caller. Call you on the clock. I got 30 seconds for you.
Okay, yeah.
Morning.
I go to find out if you have any soursop.
I can tell you a secret. I got about 8 soursop on my tree right now. But some coming through. I tell you, check the Gladstone Road Farmers Market on Saturday. That's the best place to check. But you got to go early. You got to get there at 7:30, the latest. Because the people who really want these local fruit, they coming out, buddy, early to get it. You may catch some hog plum, you may catch the last of hog plum season too if you get that out there early on a Friday or a Saturday morning. Thank you, caller.
I didn't want soursop.
You didn't want soursop? Oh, you only want soursop?
Yeah.
Yeah, go check the market Saturday morning. You want me to tell you where else to go try look?
Yeah.
Okay, but next time this can cost you $85, but this is valuable information. So people looking for local produce, Tuesday I check Potter's Key Dock. I look for the boats coming from Eleuthera. I'm going to go to a place that has committed itself to providing access to local produce and check out Marvin Pinder Farms. You can find Marvin Pinder Law Firm in the phone book to connect to them. Check Robinson Road and look for the Hasty Farmers Market on the eastern side of Robinson Road. You could do that today. Otherwise, you got to go on Cowpen Road and look. And then you got to wait for the market on Friday and Saturday.
Wait, you say Hasty?
Yeah, I am Hasty, and I said Hasty. But I don't know them. I mean, I know them, but they ain't my immediate Hasty.
I know.
But I got to go, cuz. I got to go. I got plenty more things to talk about, man. Thank you, caller. I hope that I helped anybody who's looking for soursop, because soursop is one of the most valuable products that we can grow ourselves, and we just slunk in on it. Good morning, Mr. Natino Thompson from the Bahamas Office of LGBTI Affairs and organizers of Bahamas Pride, Ms. Alexis DeMarco. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. DeMarco.
Good morning.
Hi. And our other guest, please introduce yourself.
I think he's McTell Farrington. Also, okay.
Yeah.
Well, my name is Natino Thompson, and we helped. I was one of the co-organizers of this year's Bahamas Pride, 2021, and our theme was creating a more humane Bahamas through visibility, inclusion, allyship and advancing human rights for LGBTQIA plus people in the Bahamas. We had 3 days of education, awareness, and sensitization, and those were held virtually. And we had some panelists that discussed pertinent issues that were relevant to the LGBTQ plus people living in the Bahamas.
Awesome. Now, this is what I found interesting. It's a sort of a short blurb. Coinciding with Heroes Day celebrations in the country, right? Pride Bahamas is organized by the Bahamas Organization of LGBTI Affairs. Why did you guys choose Heroes Day celebrations, right? Like, why did you choose that time of year to host your pride when global prides are traditionally hosted in June?
I'll let Alexis go ahead. Go ahead, Alexis.
Mr. Marco?
Okay, well, when I initially came on, Alexis had told me about hosting some places in the world do host their Pride in October. It actually happens sometimes, a lot happen in June, but they're staggered throughout the months. And we chose October because significantly when it comes to the Bahamas, it's a National Heroes Day, mm-hmm. right? It moved from Columbus Day, and we wanted to have, I guess, a holiday that we wanted to put it on a holiday that actually allows us to express, I guess, the kind of sentiments towards our Bahamianness, our queerness in this space. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this particular holiday allows us that kind of idea, and it incorporates that kind of idea alongside the fact that I think October is kind of the best month,
right.
Biasly, right? But
so yeah. What I've noticed is that Jamaica did host two prides. They they have sort of a Kingston Pride, and then they do a Montego Bay Pride.
Okay.
The Montego Bay Pride is organized by Maurice Tomlinson and Partners, glad to have you back, Mr. Marco. The Kingston Pride is aligned with their independence, mm-hmm. I think, a National Heroes Day.
Yes.
That similarity.
Because I remember Alexis would have talked, we modeled some of that, the kind of way forward a little bit after Jamaica, because Jamaica used, incorporated their advocacy for LGBTQ plus people, intertwining it with the University of the West Indies.
Okay.
And through that kind of proponent, it has helped to push forward in terms of allowing advocacy to flourish.
Yeah.
And so we've tried that mechanism, and it's been successful, right?
So you have a partnership with the University of the Bahamas?
Well, yes.
Awesome.
So we talked about that. So Dean Stubbs, Joe Stubbs, was there to talk about the University of the Bahamas is one of the most progressive spaces in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. where the country is failing to acknowledge sexual orientation, gender expression, in UB's charter, which is written in law, there is space for that because sexual orientation is explicitly stated that there will be no discrimination on the grounds of that, which is very progressive, right?
Yeah.
It's sad that private institution, they're trying to move towards that, right?
Yeah.
Has this kind of progressive legislation that we have yet to have that in law, right? And it gives protection.
Now, we have it in law, but it's not explicit, right? It's what you call implicit. So
in UB's charter,
in UB's charter, it's explicit. In Bahamian law, it's implicit. So wherever there's protections for or against discrimination on the basis of sex, that's where your protections for anti-discrimination protections are for LGBTI people.
Okay, well, I disagree with that interpretation. I'll allow you to have that interpretation.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
this is what the representatives from the Attorney General's office indicated to the CEDAW committee in the 71st CEDAW session.
But I think that's part of my issue. So in my writings as a researcher, right, that's very ambiguous.
Well, see, this is it. I mean, it's
very ambiguous. No,
it's not that it's ambiguous. It's implicit, right? Which means that you then have a... show it, right? It's not explicit on the surface, but it exists in law.
But the burden of proof rests with who? The people who are being marginalized.
That's all right. The burden of obligation rests with the state to protect all citizens.
But they're not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, they could do it if we make them do it. You know.
So the burden still rests with us. We have to make them do something that they should already be doing.
That's life. I don't know if you ever asked your parents not to eat your mangoes. I have. That's my research. I can tell you about that. But let's get back to this discussion. So the University of the Bahamas mm-hmm. has included in its charter explicit protections
yes.
against.
Discrimination against sexual orientation.
So we're talking about the LGB in the LGBTI.
LGBTQ. It says sexual orientation explicitly. I can't remember if it says gender expression, but definitely sexual orientation.
All right. So let's go through. Mr. Marco, please feel free to join in.
Yeah.
Let's go through this. What does the IQA in TIQA plus mean?
Go ahead, Alexis.
So it's LGBTIQA, lesbian, L, gay, G, B, bisexual, I, intersex, T, transgendered, Q, queer or questioning, and A is for allies or asexual persons.
And I is intersex.
Intersex.
Yes.
Awesome. So let's talk about asexual for a second, because I think... In the sort of categories of people, we often don't talk about asexual people, nor do we think about the types of sort of discrimination and stigma they face in society. I don't think Bahamian society in particular understands a person that has no sexual attraction to another person.
Doubt that there are persons in our country who do identify as asexual. These persons you would normally find who grow up at a very young age identifying that they have no sexual desire, but they prefer the comfort of a person, but it's not sexual. So again, when we talk about asexual people, the act of having sex is not for them. They have no sexual desire, but they desire companionship without the sexual part of their being.
Absolutely. And another term, the I, intersex. Can you talk about what intersex means?
So intersex are persons who don't normally, who are born, they're not assigned, they're born either with ambiguous genitalia or they're born with more chromosomes donating to the same sex or the opposite sex within their chronological biological makeup. They have some characteristics that does not fit into the binary of male or female. These persons are described as intersex citizens.
Okay, all right, super cool. That's a lovely, clear definition. So I love the theme, creating a more humane Bahamas through visibility, inclusion, allyship, and advancing human rights for LGBTIQA plus people in the Bahamas. Why this theme? And, you know, why this theme? Why was this particular theme important this year?
I think, well, visibility was important because we've noticed that it's a trend in the community, in particular, to not... There's a shame and there's a stigma attached to being visible.
Mm-hmm.
And we honestly feel that for this cause to work, and I was actually thinking about this even this morning as I was preparing for this, right? And even last night as I was thinking about what I could possibly say this morning, because the greatest enemy of the LGBTQ plus people have obstacles like the church lobbying in terms of the Christian Council lobbying for these kinds of legislations to remain in place and effectively oppose what we're advocating for. The biggest enemy is the LGBTQ plus people because we've been hiding. We've been taught how to hide.
I think not just taught how to hide, been taught that hiding is advantageous to the point where people don't attach or acknowledge shame
mm-hmm.
with their invisibility.
Uh-huh.
They see it as strategic. And I can be honest with you, have developed spaces in which their invisibility garners them more power
than if they were to be visible.
Than visibility.
Yeah,
does.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
So I was reading this book called The Velvet Rage, and in the author, he's Australian, he was talking about how attached to hiding, attached to that even when you come out of the closet, there's shame there, right? Because your whole life has been centered around hiding these very integral parts of yourself.
Mm.
And I kept on thinking, okay, translate into a bohemian context. And why do we continue to feel as if being invisible is advantageous?
Well, because we live, okay, first of all, look at the larger context, even, you know, outside of sexuality, right?
Mm-hmm.
You live on a plantation, buddy. Know how to keep some, know how to peep some. Know when to be seen and know when not to be seen. These are also, right, like, these are also sort of attributes or things that we have learned or been socialized into from other aspects, right? Yes,
and I agree with you, but yeah. that makes us complicit in our own oppression. And that's the point, that's the reason for this theme.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to understand that you can no longer be complicit in your own oppression, because by continuing to hide, you effectively agree with the system's stance on you that you should not exist, right? That you should not be seen, that you should only exist in private, because that's what the law allows. And I'm saying that what our theme is about is saying that if you want to, there are other ways to live, and that the other ways include being visible, like being okay with the fact that you are LGBTQ+.
So something
on that note, with our country context and our community context, for some persons, there are some difficulties in coming out or identifying and creating space or taking up space as a visible LGBTI citizen. For example, some persons lose the risk of being ostracized from their family members.
Yeah.
Some persons lose the risk of their employment.
Mm-hmm.
Some persons lose the risk of being a target of violence. So for us as an organization, we're now trying to strategize, how do we create a safe space for a person that's coming out to be visible?
Yes.
How do we ensure that they are protected if they were to come out to their family and they're thrown out? Do we have a space to put them? Do we have a place to put them? How do, in their job, are we able to advocate under the employment laws of the Bahamas to be able to say, hey, what you did is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Their sexual orientation or gender identity, which we find that that's not the case. We have an allyship within the employment sector for with unions for LGBTI citizens, Bahamian citizens on the whole. But for us now, it's important to ensure that we have policies and procedures in place, and we're going through each agency that's responsible for all citizens to ensure that this group, LGBTI Bahamas, is not left behind and is not suffering, again, discrimination and stigma
mm-hmm.
through these agencies.
Thank you. Absolutely. I want to make a point here. I found that not just locally, but globally, the labor movement has perhaps been one of the most progressive spaces in terms of LGBTI rights, acknowledging that these rights are also accessible or belong to LGBTI people also. I want to go back to the discussion about young people and visibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
And providing safe spaces. And I imagine one of the conversations I don't even know how to have yet is how can queer minors be visible if society only sees sexual orientation and homosexuality as sex, right? Like, how can young people be visible queer people if the only thing we attach to homosexuality is sex? And so I say that's an unsafe space for visible queer young people, right? Visible young queer people, because without safe, structured communal spaces, young queer people can become prey to predators, to gay and straight adults in the community that only wish to take advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you make them visible, then people, oh, I see you. how do we create, you know, how do we create safe for young queer people when the vast majority of people only think about sex?
But here's the problem, though, right? Mm-hmm. I do not think that it is more dangerous for us to make people visible than it is for us to keep people invisible.
I know, but
I just want to put that out there, right? And I say that because a lot of times when I have this discussion about visibility, even LGBTQ plus people, they almost recoil, right? Because they're like, I'm asking them to do something that goes against what they fundamentally, who they are now, right? Because it's been ingrained in them.
It's a real part of their identity.
Yes, but so bell hooks talks about the fact that lying upholds patriarchy, right? And what we're dealing with is a patriarchal system. So you have to be able to tell the truth, right? However you tell the truth to whomever you do that to and what way you do that to, it's totally up to you.
But we still got to protect young people.
But watch this, though. But remember, my first statement is that us making, when we create these safe spaces, saying that these people are LGBTQ plus, I do not think puts a target on their backs more so than them staying in the closet and allowing, similar to what you talked about this morning, right? Mm-hmm. There are cases where these things are happening and the injustice that occurs even at the hands of a justice system still perpetuates this kind of violence. We already live in a violent, very patriarchal system. Mm-hmm. And so I think that as we create safe spaces, this will deter the predators because we're allowing people to stand in their truth and say, we're giving them the language, we're giving them the education that this is not, you know.
Okay, but as they transition from youth to adulthood, are we giving them more than just language, more than just education, more than just spaces that they have to occupy on their own? Are we creating community where, as they make this transition from youth to adulthood, there are adults with integrity that they can trust in that space to ensure that they are not falling prey to predators?
Yes.
Right. So what we have a culture in the Bahamas, it's called houses. And this has been going on for decades within our communities. We would have found when parents would have thrown their young adults out, we had persons who would have continued their educations within the community. So you'd have the house of divine, the house of divinity. You'd have the house of love. I could remember Mother Love bringing a group of persons from Freeport, Grand Bahama, who found themselves homeless at a time, and taking them into her home and ensuring that they all had a place to go and still continued their access to education. Those who were going to school transferred to schools in Nassau. So it took on a parental role based on what parents, biological parents, wouldn't have done. The community then stepped in. We have been able to monitor that to a point where they're now still friends to this day. They're still family members to this day. So taking on the important roles that are left behind, what is accessible for many people may not, some persons can't access. So we try to fill in those roles. And for a period in our culture, in the Bahamas context for LGBT communities, we've always created a sense of family and continue the daily living that is required for those citizens who are thrown out of their home or who need that type of space.
All right.
So protecting young people, again, starts with changing the laws. Our 16-year-olds can consent to sex, but cannot access health care until they're 18 years of age. So it starts from these patriarchal laws that's been in our books. So when it comes to persons consenting to sex of the same sex and having homosexual sex or same sex, they cannot encourage that and they cannot entertain that until the age of 18 years of age, where we see there's the disparity in the law.
I got you.
Starting from those points of access to justice, mm-hmm. starting with those points to make it mandatory across the board, 18 across the board, protecting our young girls. But again, we're not ready to have this conversation. I should say we're not ready now.
We don't have enough time to have the conversation because you know, some people like me, I'll argue, we don't need to raise the age of consent to 18. What we need to do is we need to focus on all of these sexual predators that we know are running through this town. That conversation of raising the age of consent to 18 is just a bunch of laziness coming from lazy people who refuse to put their foot down in their country, their communities, and their homes and stop the predatory behavior. And I know it's correct. Difficult. I got some texts I got to read. Mm-hmm. I know it's difficult because from the judiciary down, we seem to have a problem with causing people to moderate their behavior. And I don't mean the sentences. Right. Don't say nothing. I don't mean the sentences the judges pass out either. Mm-hmm. I hope you all hear me talking. I got to read these texts, guys, because a lot of people are very upset at this conversation that we're having this morning.
Okay.
And I don't want them to feel like somebody has already indicated in one of these texts against them. So I'm going to read these texts. And to members of my LGBT community that may feel affronted or even feel attacked by some of these texts, you don't watch nothing. We're creating an environment where everybody gets to express what they want, and we, the adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
We ensure that the environment remains safe for everybody.
Yes.
And we could do that. That ain't hard. Good morning, Ms. Green. Mr. Renwood Wells needs to go. Yeah, he needs to disappear. I got your sentiment. I'm not going to read the rest of that text. Another text says, don't want to listen to your expletive today. That is what they get for bringing you on Guardian Radio. Okay? Mm. You don't have to listen to it. But you should. Just, you know, you don't have to agree with it. You should listen, but you don't have to agree with it. Another text, Aaron, you're so funny. Your humor is amazing. Also, ask LGBTQ community how many letters they're going to take from the alphabet.
As many as we need to make our point.
This is not even that. Like, I get it. I'm standing aside when Latino, right? Because imagine how people feel like. They say, oh, I thought they was us. Look, and now we're standing alone. This is what othering does to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think straight people feel like they're being othered.
That's not how it works, right? They have power. They have access.
But I can show you why. Your boy on the corner may be a straight man, but when you say they have power, I don't know if he sees himself as a part of that.
That's the default, though, Aaron.
Yeah, but that's not the point. You and I know it's the default. That doesn't say that boy or that collection of boy them on the corner understand what you're saying. It doesn't mean that they see themselves as having the power and in that confined community space or in a larger country space that they can reconcile with the idea of power than they really do. For them, but they may...
I don't think what it is for Bahamians, it's not looking for any other special rights that LGBTI citizens want in the country. They're not looking for any other special rights or special rights.
I got you.
They want the same access that have as a Bahamian citizen. They want to be able to continue their education. They want to be able to
absolutely.
Access healthcare.
Yeah, absolutely, DeMarco. I got
to
go.
The judicial system.
I got to get through these texts. Nobody's doubting that. What I'm saying to you is, though, it's important to consider what people are actually thinking. Perceived and real, there's only a very thin line between that.
I got to get to these texts.
I don't want these people to think that we're discriminating against them. Aaron, your show was going great until. But now I feel discriminated from these people. Keep trying to push their agenda on me. I know your two guests very well.
Do you?
Even Joe Stubbs, in public, they are not loud or will push themselves on you, so they're trying to force us to swallow their lifestyle. I'm not even sure what I'm saying. I think that's an unrealistic...
accusation?
No. Assessment of what's happened on the show, and it suggests to me that people are feeling attacked. I don't think they're being attacked. What concerns me is what is making them feel attacked. And that's the work, right? Perceived or real...
But that's their own psychological work. They
got
to do that on their own.
But they won't be able to do it unless they understand what's happening to them. I got another text here. Always love how inclusive Alexis by always including asexuals in the conversation as an asexual. This person is saying they are an asexual. It really makes us feel accepted. I'm sorry, Carl. I can't take any calls. Another text. Great show as usual, Miss Green. I never met you before. But you should know by now I love your show because I text every day. I text some harsh things sometimes, but why does the media try to normalize things that ain't normal? We're going to have a conversation about what it means in a social context and in a biological context. Because when we start talking like that, we'll realize that the vast majority of us don't fit what is a normal human or a normal male or a normal female human.
Or that normal doesn't exist at all.
At all, mm-hmm. right? And that's why it's so important to have conversations in context, right? Because the scientific world is having a totally different conversation from what people on the ground are having.
Yes.
The scientific world will tell you that when you're talking about woman and man, the genetic and chromosomal and biological variances is so grand, you know?
Yes.
And I have another text here. Great show, Ms. Green. What about the Olympic athlete? They got property from the government. I thought you was going to ask about transgender people competing in school sports, amateur sports, professional sports in the Olympics. Another text says, y'all need to stay in hiding. This sissy lifestyle is demonic. But listen, I don't understand how you could have a whole lifetime text with only seven words. But maybe we're going to have a show on it. Another text, our Heavenly Father don't agree with these kind. Get people back to Jesus. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And soon, don't laugh. And soon coming King, we need the house of the Lord. Don't laugh.
Ooh.
LGBT are the...
LGBT people are people of faith too. And that's what we deals with knowledge.
I agree. It says, LGBT people are the biggest predators. Having children consider sexual orientation before puberty. Children should
but
never.
But heterosexual people create LGBTI people.
I got you. You don't worry about that. Alexis, you don't worry about that. I think that statistics captured across the globe show us that people who identify as heterosexual and who are identified as heterosexual make up the vast majority of sexual predators in the world.
That's correct.
Anyway. I just want to say another text says, get him, Aaron, he too biggity. I would hate to think that people don't measure what they speak. And while you feel that you may be attacking me or the guests on my show today, remember that there's a large audience of Bahamians listening to this show today. That the only thing they seek is to be able to live a life free of violence in their own country. And imagine how you make your fellow citizens feel spewing this hatred because you feel disempowered by a conversation. It's almost like that boy in that video beating that woman in the road for no real reason. Anyway, I'd like to thank you for tuning in today, despite or because of how uncomfortable this conversation may have made you feel. I want to thank you for sticking in with it. Join us tomorrow for another episode of On the Clock with Aaron Green. And stay tuned, because Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. It's going to be a great day, Bahamas.